This is CliffCentral.com.
Justice Malala, the burning platform. It's brought to you every week by Nando's. We check in on all the important political and social and economic stories, the things that affect all of us and even the things that we don't know that affect us. Justice Malala, South Africa's preeminent political analyst and sometime, according to Ben at least, sometime nefarious cartoon character assassin. But he's here this morning. Justice, thank you so much.
Absolute pleasure to be here. Always good.
Well, it's nice to see you. And I know that you've been very, very busy this week with the news. There's so much to talk about. Mm. Can we start with Oros?
Well, I mean, there you go. Huh? Half a million rand just to go and have a chat. I found it incredible, firstly, that no one is denying that they got the money. When the Sunday Times broke the story, the ANC Youth League said, yeah, sure, we got the money. So for our listeners who haven't followed the story, this company, Just Coal, after 10 years of providing coal to Eskom, hears that, finds out that basically they're under pressure, that their contract might not be renewed, and they go around asking people, oh, what can we do to save the situation? And they land up with Colin Oros Maine, the ANC Youth League president. Mm. He says, don't you worry. You know, if you give me a little donation, I'll sort it out for you. And off he goes. We don't know what he says to Matsela Koko at Eskom or to whoever, but it doesn't happen. But the ANC Youth League gets the 500,000 rand transfer. It's worth noting that some of his comrades are saying, actually, it was a million rand. Where's the other half, comrade Colin? But he's not saying. But what's amazing about this story, you know, Gareth, is that no one is saying, do you see how wrong it is to take money to go and influence government work? Colin and his comrades at the ANC Youth League didn't stop and say, oops, no, actually we can't, because these guys are looking at the quality of the coal, at their needs, that it's not just a business decision. As Joe Singh, the CEO of this business, said, he said, we wanted to find a political solution to this problem. What is a political solution to a business issue where the customer says, I don't want your product anymore, or I want your product, but will you improve the quality? You know, if there's an issue here, let's have the conversation about the issue. But no, it's okay, we'll go off and have the conversation and we'll find a political solution. A political solution?
Is this what a political solution is? It's bags of money, the same kind that Mkabisi Jonas told us he was
exactly.
offered.
Exactly. So imagine, this is the thing. If the ANC Youth League is doing it, then is the ANC mother body doing it? Who else is doing it? Is the ANC at provincial level doing it? Is the local councillor in Tshwane also doing it and going off to, well, Tshwane is in the DA's hands now, but let's say in Polokwane or in Rustenburg or somewhere.
We have to be careful now which ones.
Yes.
And by the way, we're not saying the DA is completely guiltless.
You know,
yet to be proven.
Is the DA's guy in Joburg doing it so that he can go and have a little chat with someone else?
But here's the thing.
Joburg water.
What's his Santla? What is the one hand washes the other?
Oh, yes.
What's that saying?
The one hand washes the other. Well, in Setswana, it's Maboho dingua tebana. It's like,
right. Yeah, so if the one hand washes the other, which is
yeah.
So that you help each other. The same applies to the one hand corrupts the other.
Uh-huh.
So there's always a business involved and there's always a government involved.
Absolutely.
And it's some government official and it's some business owner. There's exactly. corruption all over the South African economy and we see it in the Guptas, which we'll talk about in a moment, writ large. But in little municipalities, this must be happening, where you give this one a little brown envelope round the back.
Exactly. And another little one over there.
What is it about us?
Basically, what's happening, you're absolutely right. Can you imagine what's happening in
Putatichaba?
Somewhere in the Free State, you know, Mabale's home ground. I mean, it must be a little 20,000 here, a little 1,000 here.
Because if Oros is worth half a million, Oros is a fairly important person.
I know.
Then the people above Oros must be on a higher pay grade.
Yes.
We're talking tens of millions, maybe. Maybe in the hundreds if they're the president.
Yes.
Then down the line, you've got the small añanas who are getting maybe 20, maybe 10, maybe but 5.
But let's not forget that way back in 2002, the first arms deal story told us that Jacob Zuma got $50,000, which at the time would have been around 500,000 rand. So you got to start somewhere with this corruption business, and you start small, and it's small añana.
In other words,
and then you end up with the Guptas.
What Jay-Z earned in 2002... Oros gets in 2017.
15 years later. You almost want to stop and say, guys, can we please have some ambition? You know, if you're going to be corrupt, if you're going to take money so that you can go fix people's problems politically, then, you know, take 50 million, take some big cash.
Well, the chickens come home to roost. I mean, the Guptas are losing case after case at the moment. I don't know how they're running their businesses. They can't have a bank account anywhere. They don't have auditors anymore. People are running scared.
Just think about it. As we speak, one of the, well, an audit firm, that is going
Sizwe Gobodo Ntsaluba.
Yeah, exactly. Sizwe Gobodo Ntsaluba has walked away from Oak Bay. Auta got a massive boost when the courts ruled that the Guptas and Bank of Baroda must freeze that 1.7 billion rand that was in the rehabilitation fund for one of those mines in the Optimum Coal, I think it was, in Mpumalanga. That means that at every turn, ordinary South Africans are making these guys stop and making them reflect and making them realize that you can't get away with this stuff, even if Shaun the Sheep is sitting there and not bringing you to book. You will get other ways of going for it. So for me, it's interesting. The Guptas and Eskom, for example, Ben Ngubane is gone. Who's the CEO, the lacrimose that ever came?
Brian Molefe
didn't get his 30 million rand. They've been forced to flip their business to Zwane Lemanyi. They've been forced to flip the mining businesses to a guy in Dubai who has no mining experience except for setting up a clothes business. So increasingly, we are seeing consequence in the system. We're just waiting to see consequence from our law enforcement agencies. So while the Minister of Police gets 1 million followers on Twitter, very excited.
He's more excited about that than, say, the fact that there are these heists at OR Tambo,
exactly,
which are now not just ripping off South Africans, but also international guests.
I mean, he should
the
be...
The things that preoccupy our friend, the Minister of Police.
I mean, the Minister of Police should be jumping up and down now, saying we need to lay charges against the Guptas for 1,001 different violations of the law. But he's excited about his million followers. Good luck to him. But ordinary people, organizations like Auta, like so many others, are saying not in our name. So... Sizwe Ntsaluba Gobodo now has walked away. Think of all the others which are saying, I am not doing business with you. Think of the fact that they don't have bank accounts. Someone is still, of course, oiling that machine. They must be still moving money around. But their friends are getting smaller and smaller. The circle is closing. And I think that we're beginning to reach a tipping point. I think that the Guptas will not be able to do business in South Africa. And at some point, the law enforcement agencies, the Hawks, the NPA, the SAPS, Commercial Crimes Unit, and so forth, need to do something. And I think it's coming, but it's taking too long, in my view.
Well, the embarrassment about them is that they should have been the first to act. not the last.
Exactly. No, absolutely. You're right. I mean, we are sitting here watching the Corruption Watch is going to the United States to lay charges against McKinsey. It should have started here. The Americans should be saying, there is a law enforcement agency somewhere in South Africa deciding to go after these guys. Why? We should jump onto it. But no, an NGO has to go to the US while our guys are twiddling their thumbs here. Thank you, Sean.
We must ignore Sean like he ignores us. I don't see any way other way for this to be resolved.
Oh, I don't know. I think, Sean, we need to keep the pressure on Sean because Sean will be forced. He doesn't have, you know, a lot of these guys think that time runs out. Time doesn't run out. In 10 years, you and I, I'm telling you this, Gareth Cliff, 10 years, we'll be sitting here, we'll still be giving him hell if he doesn't act.
Well, look at the Timmel inquest.
1971. Right.
And there must have been people who thought, we've got away with this one.
Think of that cop, I think Gomez, I think. He thought way back in 71 that, oh no, I'm the last person, I'm in the cell with this man, and he allegedly jumps out, and oh no, I've gotten away with it. He hasn't gotten away with it. 1981, 1991, 2001, here we are, 46 years later, and the law is getting to him. So you know, if people like Sean Abrahams think that 20 years, you know, in 5 years it will be gone, it's not going to go away. The 783 charges, counts of fraud, corruption, racketeering that Jacob Zuma faces are from way back in 2002. The first time that he was fired for it was in June 2005, after Shabir Sheikh was found guilty of bribing him. So here we are, 12 years later, after Thabo Mbeki fired him, and he is still facing those charges. Get this stuff over and done with, and people like Sean Abrahams need to realize that it's never going to go away.
Well, let's talk about something that everybody was worried about. For a few days, it seems there was a canary in the coal mine who said that Malusi Gigaba and various other state capture agents were coming for the PIC. These are the pension funds of all of our state workers, all of our bureaucracy, all of the public departments.
Yes.
And this is a substantial amount of money.
Yeah, it's huge amounts of money. It's 1.9 trillion rands. It's mind-boggling. It is bigger than the money that we produce in a year in South Africa. It's massive amounts of cash. So what is happening is that, let me tell you what the outrage is. Take a business like Kulula, Comair. Comair runs, you know, cheap airlines, as they are called. They're very reliable. They fly all over South Africa every day. And they make a profit. They have made a profit for decades. Now, if you're sitting at home, you have, you know, 1,000 rand to invest, or 500, or 100 rand to invest, you'd say, what are the 10 companies that I should put money in, and they'll give me money? You can get an airline that produces money. If you're in the UK, you have EasyJet or Ryanair. There are airlines all over the world. If you're in Ethiopia, Ethiopia Airlines made more than $200 million profit just this year. So airlines do make money. They find it tough, but they do make money. SAA, if you go on your website now and try to check into SAA today, right now, you will not be able to, and you have not been able to for the past month. Why? Because they have run out of money and they can't buy new stuff. They can't maintain the old stuff. Essentially, we're faced here with a business that's been run into the ground by Dudu Mieni, the chairperson of the board, and Jacob Zuma's friend.
They haven't just run it into the ground. They've also wasted huge amounts of money that we can't seem to account for.
Money, opportunity, the opportunity to be a world-class, really world-class airline. And what we're faced with now is that they need cash. Because everyone that they owe is at the door saying, we think you're going to go down, so I want my money back now. And so what do? They go to the PIC, which is if you're a nurse, if you're a doctor, if you're a civil servant somewhere in Pretoria, if you're a cleaner, your pension is with a PIC via the Government Employee Pension Fund. And so they want to take your pension and give it to a business that does not make money. Now, pensions work on this basis, that I take your money, I make sure that it grows so that it can look after you when you're 60 or 65 or wherever you retire. That's the basic, simple arithmetic of it. You can't take my money and say that's your pension in 20, 25 years, 30 years, and put it in a business that's going to collapse. It means that I won't have a pension in 20, 35 years. And so there has been...
I mean, if you're investing people's pension money, you must invest it in something which grows their money, surely, because inflation is going to mean that whatever it's worth now, it'll be worth less then.
Exactly.
So you should be looking at something that increases it by 10 to 20% if you can find those kinds of figures. Putting it in SAA would be like halving it.
No.
You're telling people... You will be eating dog food one day.
Exactly. No, it's down the drain. It's over. Those people will now be a burden on the state because they're going to have to get old age pensions, which they shouldn't be. They should be getting their pensions from their work. So we know now that on Sunday, Dan Machila, Dr. Dan, who is a highly respected investment professional, who is the CEO of PIC, he told the Sunday Times that, no, it's clear what's happening here. People want to get their hands on the cookie jar and enjoy the fat of the money that we are making.
This came up on the show today. Luca. L-U-C-R-E.
Oh, yes.
And I looked it up because we often talk about how this business is very lucrative.
Yeah.
But actually, Luca has a very negative connotation.
Yeah, dirty Luca.
So this is, from now on, we must refer to the Treasury as the Luca Department.
Or the Aluta. Continue. Yeah. So what is happening is that people want to get rid of Dr. Dan Machila. He says people want to get rid of him because they want to take 100 billion rand and give it to the entities that have been run into the ground by their cronies, so SAA, Eskom, and others, which basically CEF, Central Energy Fund, those sorts of guys, and just pour it down the drain. And he's fighting back. He says his board is fighting back. But the chair of the board is the deputy minister of finance. And the deputy chair is someone who's just come in, brought in by the same deputy minister of finance. My view is that over the next few months, we need to watch very carefully. And COSATU is on the game on this one, thankfully for them. That you need to watch very carefully that money is not stolen from the PIC to fund SAA. If SAA is to be funded, is to be rescued, South Africans must stand up and say, Jacob Zuma's friend, Dudu Mieni, must leave and must leave immediately. She should have left more than years ago and she still remains in office. So this is absolutely crucial. Professionals must run the place. It's possible to make money out of SAA, and pensioners' money, the state's money, must not be touched to keep on rescuing Dudu Mieni. It's absolutely atrocious. People will know, our listeners will know, that her contract came to an end at the end of August, and it's been extended into September. And into October. Before you know it, she'll be SAA chairperson in 2020 or 2025. This is not Zimbabwe, where the national airline is run by Robert Mugabe's son-in-law. We can't run things like that here. This is not a banana republic, and we mustn't even go there.
Although so I did see one of the international newspapers, I think it could have been the Daily Mail, referred to us as an increasingly despotic.
It was the
regime.
Financial Times. And Financial this is it. If the president's friends run everything like SAA, then we are increasingly despotic. We can't stand up and say, no, how dare they insult us this way? We are behaving that way. So
let's just take a look quickly at the SACP march, which, of course, is happening on this Wednesday. And then we need to discuss whether or not this is going to make any difference.
You know, I'm very partial to
Kossatu,
the communists,
well,
and Kossatu. And I'm amazed that they're now standing up and jumping up and down saying, we're marching against state capture.
Just
and
by
getting
the way,
rid of
Stumo Dlamini is probably not going to participate in this because he has lost all of his power.
He seems to have lost a lot of his power, but I was interested to hear that he is marching.
Oh.
He is in Durban, and he's made some interesting statements from there. So he's still around, but he is known as a Jacob Zuma ally and has defended Zuma quite a lot in many public forums. But he seems to be on, how shall I say?
Slippery ground?
He's on slippery ground, but he's still around, but he's not the main spokesperson for that march. But I wanted to talk about it because, you know, people must be held to account. Kossatu and the SACP, there is an opportunity for them on August 8th to tell the MPs.
August 8th,
yes.
Next year.
No, last year, when the motion of no confidence was taking place in Parliament, they had a chance to say to the MPs that they sent to Parliament, remember that there's a huge chunk of former Kossatu leaders who are members of Parliament. There's a huge chunk of SACP leaders who are in the cabinet and in Parliament. They should have turned around and said, we don't like Jacob Zuma. We think he should go. Vote him out. They said, no, vote for him to stay. And then one month later, we're marching for Jacob Zuma to go. Hello? You had a chance. You had a chance to do this. You know, we haven't spoken about this enough. But Makosi Khoza stood up and said, you know what? I can't be part of this anymore. I'm walking out. She doesn't sit there and say, I'm going to vote for Jacob Zuma, but he must go. You can't do that. You've got to take a position and you've got to come through.
You speak with forked tongue.
This is the problem. And this is why people increasingly all over the world don't trust politicians, because they speak with forked tongue. This is not just forked tongue. This is my
word.
It's terrible. It's terrible. So Kossatu has brought the economy. Well, you know, they used to be able
to
bring
the economy.
The economy.
Yes. Yeah.
They used to be able to bring the economy to a halt. Well, they haven't. But there are hundreds of thousands of workers who are not at work today because they're demanding that Jacob Zuma go. Hello. You could have done this a long time ago without bringing the economy to a halt for a whole day. We are losing billions of rand because of this strike. You could have solved this problem a long time ago.
So irresponsible.
So it's not
and
just
what does this do for workers? I mean,
exactly.
You know, in reality, like Kossatu's membership of the Tripartite Alliance stopped delivering for workers a long time ago.
We need to dedicate the show to the Tripartite Alliance and its dysfunction and its failure to really, by Kossatu and the SACP, to really do anything for workers.
All right, the last little bit of our time. We always check in on the Nkosazana Dlamini-Zuma campaign. How are they looking now?
Nkosazana Dlamini-Zuma must be sitting somewhere asking for tissues to be pushed in under the door, because she's in that dark room and she realizes now, I think, that her campaign has fallen apart. Last week, the Pietermaritzburg High Court, 2 weeks ago, the Pietermaritzburg High Court ruled that the KwaZulu-Natal Provincial Executive Committee is it's null and void. It's unlawful, its election. So these are the people who organized, you know, there's a hat is dropping in eThekwini, and it would be, okay, we're coming to Nkosazana Dlamini Zuma is coming to give a speech. Oops, there's the opening of a curtain in Umbumbulu. And Nkosazana Dlamini Zuma will give a speech. Basically, that provincial executive committee existed merely to provide a stage for Nkosazana Dlamini Zuma to hold forth and to, you know, give speeches. Now it's gone. That means that the most powerful entity that was backing her, it doesn't know what it's going
to
do.
Weren't they also the entity that was meant to try Makosi Kwaza for her ill-discipline?
Exactly. Those are the guys.
And she didn't even bother to pitch. Bother to hand in a letter to them because they don't exist.
They don't exist. So now they're saying, no, please don't dissolve us. The ANC took a decision that we'll have a task team in KwaZulu-Natal to see the next 3 months through to the December conference. That means that these guys, that means that the Nkosazana Dlamini Zuma faction or campaign doesn't have a moneyed entity to help it along. Suddenly, Cyril Ramaphosa can now go to Umbumbulu and give and open a curtain there as well. And Zweli Mkhize can just happily go to Umzimkhulu and open his own curtain there.
Umgababa.
Ah, oh, what memories. So it's now wide open. Then you see what David Mabuza is doing in Mpumalanga. He's also saying, I'm looking for a third way. Now, this is a guy who we've spoken about the Premier League on this show lots of times. So he's saying, maybe Zweli looks nice. I like his look.
Didi Mabuza, we haven't considered him to be the most upstanding of politicians. He was a member of this now notorious Premier League.
Yes.
He then turned his back on, first of all, Nkosazana Dlamini Zuma, now seemingly Cyril.
Yes.
He's keeping his options open.
Yeah.
But this is all about him. This has got very little to do with
I asked him the question.
You had him on your show.
Yes. Mm. And he said, look, I will support and I will stand for the deputy presidency if there is a president who will unite us. And I sat there and thought, and who would that be? It would be the president who picks you to be his deputy.
Suddenly they would be the one to unite
us. But so he's no longer saying Nkosazana Dlamini Zuma. He'd never really said Cyril, but he was flirting with him. So I think that basically Nkosazana Dlamini Zuma's KwaZulu-Natal is gone. Mpumalanga is gone. She's left with Supra Mahuma Pelo in the northwest. While on Sunday, Ace Magashule tells the Sunday Times that, I think the best candidate must emerge. Mm. I'm not married to this whole idea of a woman president. Mm. So basically, you've got a campaign that looks like it needs some petrol, some water, it needs a lot of work. Nkosazana Dlamini Zuma is left with Supra Mahuma Pelo. Colin Maine doesn't seem interested. And Batabile Dlamini. Now, let me tell every South African out there, if the two people running your campaign are Batabile Dlamini and Supra Mahuma Pelo, my word, you are in trouble. Big time.
Thank you, Justice.
Absolute pleasure.
The Burning Platform, brought to you by Nando's. This is a bumper episode. Make sure you don't miss next week, Thursday, same time, same place, with Justice Malala. Only here on cliffcentral.com.
This is CliffCentral.com.